All right. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for this privilege that we have just to gather with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and learn more about you, the mind of Christ that lives within us, Father. We ask you for wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to understand more about you today. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Now, we've been kind of talking about, the last time I was able to share, we were talking about momentum test. And the last portion we had was people testing. That's one of the things that we fail much faster, even the prosperity test, because we react so quickly. Just living here, people chipping wood in the back, or shooting the guns, but you know, or just leaving the parking lot and getting to the highway. How quickly do we react? That jerk just cut me off. We just left church. But it's so quickly that we react to those things. So, how we're trying to get that momentum to be mature, a mature Christian. But we also see the snares of the devil, how it's trying to distract us from reaching that maturity. You know, and put people in our lives to take us away from that maturity. He uses people to actually distract us to reaching that maturity. And sometimes believers in the cosmic system. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived, evil friends corrupt good morals." I was looking for that verse last night when we were talking to Robin Stephanie. But the last time we were talking about a phrase that I use, cosmic evangelism. Like yesterday we were talking about door-to-door evangelism. But the cosmic evangelism, there is the mature believer that is actually in mature, that is in fellowship with God, and the cosmic is trying to attract him to get away from that maturity or from being in fellowship, out of fellowship. And these are friends that we know. We talked about the friends that we like and the friends that we don't like. Sometimes, you know, that can be a reactor factor for us. The friends that we like, it's so easy we get along together with them and we want to fellowship with them, but at the same time we have to make sure that that's the right people, that they're not extracting us from being mature, because it happens. And sometimes we have to be able to recognize them so we no longer fellowship with them, because they're actually using that spiritual cosmic, taking us out of maturity and fellowship with God. So, now people, they can only become a distraction to perception of doctrine of residence in the divine power sphere. That's the word that I use when we have somebody. I think I even drew something here. Don't laugh at my little drawing, okay? Remember I was talking about, we have a circle on top, we are in Christ. At that time we have the Holy Spirit imputed unto us. We can't get out of here even if we try. We are in Christ. In the bottom of that little circle there, we are in fellowship. So the two things are called the power sphere, you know. So these were, and the people on this other side, they are in the cosmic system. The outside. They sinned, they didn't recover. They didn't practice John 1, 1 John 1, 1 John 1, 9. I can say that fast. But this, the cosmic believer, they hear. Now they're trying to attract this believer in here and draw them away into the cosmic system. So, now, we see that it all goes back into two factors: arrogance, you know, versus humility in our priorities. Now, doctrine, like we said the last time, must be priority number one in our lives. Doctrine has to be number one in our lives, more than people. If people become number one in our lives, we're going to flunk the people test. Because we're going to go to their friendships. We're going to be attracted to who they are. Oh, they're famous people, whatever they are. We're going to get attracted to that, and we're going to flunk it. We're going to draw and be in the same category as they are. And that happens to a lot of believers, unfortunately. I'm saying not all of them, but the majority. And that's why there's no fruit. They're actually participating in Satan's, you know, world, cosmic system. That's what they're doing. They're helping Satan. And unfortunately, sometimes these people think that they're helping this believer. Because maybe thinking they got into the wrong church, or they got into the wrong crowd, or something like that. They think they're helping God instead of they're helping Satan. Satan doesn't like us to know the Word. Satan doesn't want us to study the Word categorically. Satan doesn't want us to know God more. He knows the Scripture, but he twists the Scripture. And the more we know the Word of God, man, he hates that. He wants us to get away from that. Now, in learning doctrine, of course, once you learn doctrine, the capacity for love increases. If you stay in that power sphere, your capacity for love is going to happen. You're going to be, God is going to send the right people to you then. You're going to be able to fellowship with the right people. Just like yesterday, we were riding in the van coming back. You know what I'm saying? Satan didn't have a place there. Because he knows that we were walking. I threw him out of the window. But that's how, you know what I'm saying? Because where there is the Word of God communicated in the right way, he has no power in us. The same thing in our life in a church. It's the same way. That's why there's two gather, yeah, but if there are two gather and one is out of fellowship and the one is, I don't care how much they pray. Do you know what I'm saying? But when the two are gathered and they are in fellowship, yes, God is going to answer. That's the difference. Yeah. People always say, oh, we're going to go together, we're going to buy this car. Hello? No. When you're in fellowship between you and Daddy, and you ask whether they're in fellowship, he's going to answer you. But if one is out of fellowship, there's no communication. So, when we have that communication, of course, with God, when we have Bible doctrine in our souls, we learn, first of all, category one is God, basically. Doctrine. Category two, husband and wife. Category three is friendship. That is going to come automatically. When doctrine is number one in our lives, all those categories are going to happen, it's going to fall in place. We don't have to look for them because the Lord is just going to drop it to you. But when we don't, we're going to be searching for those friends then. We're searching for happiness. And that's what happens sometimes. There's always a search frantic for happiness. They think that the friends is going to make them happy. If they just marry that person, it's going to be happy. If I just get this job, it's going to make me happy. But it doesn't. So, social life, sexual life, business life often takes precedence over Bible doctrine. And that happens to many people. And inside, in the life inside the power sphere. And this means a guarantee that you always flunk the people testing. As soon as you start acting away from the divine power sphere, you're going to flunk the people testing. There's no other choice. You're out of fellowship. Everything you do is satanic, influenced by the enemy. Everything you do, we think we're trying to help God. It doesn't work that way. So, the principle is that the decisions that we make when we're out of fellowship, we have to take basically, you know, we're going to pay the consequences. of what we do in those areas. Because we may make a lousy decision when we're out of fellowship. And God is going to allow us to do that. He's not going to intervene, but you're going to pay the consequences. You know, unfortunately, the majority of believers make decisions when they are out of fellowship, when they're in the covenant system. And Satan just loves that. Satan just loves those decisions made there. Now, the principle is response or reaction to people is only devastating where people have precedence over doctrine. It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of priorities in our lives. Who do we going to follow? It is a matter of humility versus arrogance. So response to this cosmic evangelism can only occur when you have failed in your priorities. The reaction of the believer frustrated by love relationship is often delusion, bitterness, followed by implacability and vindictiveness. You see, the problem is this. Sooner or later, when you're listening to doctrine, people are going to rub you the wrong way. Yeah, there's some doctrine that we like, and there's some doctrine that they don't like, because God steps on our toes. But the reaction of people is huge. Well, Pastor said this about me. He knew about my circumstances and he just preached directly to me. Not recognizing that it's coming to the communicator from God the Holy Spirit through him, but they take it as a personal, a direct attack. Arrogance. Definitely, they're not submitting to humility. So the reaction of the believer, frustrated, it's often delusion, bitterness, followed by implacability, vindictiveness. A lot of people, believers that hate, you should be surprised. How can believers hate? They do. You hear in the vocabulary sometimes. You see, the problem with this is sooner or later, when you're listening to doctrine, you're going to make the decision. Yes, this is the Word of God. I'm going to grow. Or, no, this is not the Word of God. Who are you going to believe? You're going to say, no, this is something that what happens with people sometimes. Doctrine is not really, they don't want to hear doctrine, they want to get their ears tickled, and they're no longer being able to grow when doctrine is being preached. You know, we use the word, they get very familiar with the word, so they're no longer growing into the Word of God. They don't hear that new thing, the life Word of God through His message. They're just there. They're not getting fed because they're not allowing that because of the arrogance in their soul. It becomes just a habit of coming to Sundays because the light of the Word of God is not penetrating them. They're not learning because they don't allow themselves to be taught. And it's dangerous. And that's where the danger comes into the church. Because they fall into the cosmic system and Satan uses them as a tool to destroy a ministry. It's big. Doesn't matter how big the ministry is. Could be 10 people, could be 1,000 people. Pastor Stephen saw it more than once. And Pastor Sheller, all over the world, you know, where he goes. He sees that. In this ministry, doesn't matter how small we are. However, it is the work of the enemy. So that's why sometimes we have to see the believer falling. Yeah, our job is to reinforce him or her, whatever that is. We that have more doctrine is to lift them up. You know, sometimes if that person falls, you know, the enemy is the attacker. The enemy is Satan. So if somebody has cancer, you don't go and kick the people, you know what I'm saying? You go and rebuke the cancer in their body. It's not the people's fault, you know what I'm saying? It's the cancer, it's Satan that basically has attacked this believer to be drawn into the cosmic system. The only thing that he did is the same thing that Eve did. He accepted that visual. Oh, that looks good. Yeah, that makes sense now. She opened the door. Satan, just sneaky Satan, just goes, ha-ha. The same thing happened to believers. As soon as if you are in a power sphere, he can't penetrate. He can't penetrate. Satan and God cannot be in the same place. Cannot be. That's why when people tell me that they possess when they're believers, it's impossible. Good and bad and evil cannot be in the same place. He can influence us. And the only way that Satan can do is when we fall into the cosmic system. Then he says, now you're mine. And some people try to take in Bible doctrine while they are in the cosmic system. They attend churches while they are in the cosmic system. They sing in choirs while they are in the cosmic system. They even play the piano. They even conduct the hymns while they are in the cosmic system. And Satan, little by little, he's, yeah, just follow this, yes, let's do this. And make sure he's going. They're using those watches that 007. Yes, he's ready to go there. Yep, go ahead. Yep, I got him. Yep, keep going. Make sure he doesn't do this. Oh yeah. In churches. We have to know our enemy. We have to know how he attacks. And we can go into battle without the full armor of God. They're going to kick our little butts out. They're much stronger than we are. He's much stronger. The issue with believers sometimes is that we try to defeat Satan without the full armor. We were talking about yesterday. We think we got the sword. Oh, I got the word of God. And we forget to bring our helmet and the whole full body armor. Oh, we bring the armor, we don't bring the sword. You see what I'm saying? And it's something that we always do, that we try to defeat the enemy without having Bible doctrine in. The more we know, the more we know the techniques, the tactics of the evil one. That way we can attack him. As he attacked us, we counterattack with the word of God. He attacks us, we counterattack with the word of God. Guess what? He's going to get tired. And he's going to continue. As believers, sometimes we think that we're going to pass A. You just say, oh yeah, I defeated the enemy. Wait for B. It's bigger. B is much bigger. And then there is C. We're not going to end until we take a nap. Just every day. So the more we mold our shapes, ourselves, with the word of God, the more we're going to learn how the enemy works. How to love God. How to pick those friends, you know, that God has placed in our lives to help us grow. To help us, you know, have become a good friendship. Also, learn how to say no to some friends that are pulling us away. That sometimes we have to say, look, I remember very well, we got some people that we used to know that negative people. They're always in the cosmic system. And they always want to fellowship with us. We have to make a decision when they say no. It hurts. It hurts a lot. Because you got to tell them no. And the only thing you got is those great memories you ever had with them. But if you also fall and you say, you know what? I feel so bad that I told them that I can't. Let me call them and let's meet with them next week. You flunked the test. You just follow the same recipe, now you're going to end up in the cosmic system. As believers, we have to watch that. Because our emotions sometimes can draw us back to the same kind of people. Yet sometimes we have to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't. And it hurts. It hurts. And then we get the gist of it. When they invite you a couple of times, no, we can't do it this time. No, we can do it. Then we'll go away. Meanwhile, you continue to take Bible doctrine. That's how you'll be able to recognize the techniques of the evil one. And he's not just in the east or the west, he's everywhere. He's trying to get you in all those weak areas in your life. He's going to try to get in. Meanwhile, you still taking Bible doctrine in. God is going to send you those people that are going to be a tool for the ministry to grow. He's going to provide us friendships that we need so He can mold us and shape us to His image. Through Bible doctrine, we're going to be able to weed those ones that they're going to destroy our lives in the Christian life. The momentum has to continue. We get smarter, we get wiser as we take Bible doctrine in to cross it in. There is so much more test coming. Pastor had about 18 from last Friday. I mean, that's just, you know, there's more than that, I'm sure. But the people testing is huge. Be able to recognize them. Be able to say no. And he said, well, their feelings are going to get hurt. They are just feelings. Feelings come and go. Emotions come and go. But this stays forever. And who we are pleasing is Daddy. Everybody be in line. When we all get to heaven, it's going to be a big line. They're going to give an account of what they did. We're going to give an account of what we did. How did this impact our lives? Versus how did these people impact your lives and flunk the test? So I just hope that the Lord gives us wisdom to really continue into the Word of God and just basically learn, you know, that capacity, the guidance that He gives us every day, and to really realize, you know, the truth. The enemy versus, you know, God. How God loves us so much that He knows that we're going to fail. But also, 1 John 1:9 is there also to recover and get back and continue. Enemy attacks us again. Guess what? Says, I'm here. I'm on your side. Get up. Come on. I watch you. I protect you. So, you know, from that point, we recognize who Daddy is. You know, and I always felt safe when my daddy was next to me. Same thing spiritually. You know, I feel safer when God is on my side. And that's what He wants. That's the relationship He wants between us and Him. Just to know, I am here. I'm with you at all times. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. But let's discern when we are out of fellowship. And let us not stay there too long. Because we stay there too long, and then you start going to the spiral. And sometimes, like Paul says, you know, I deliver him to Satan, so his body may perish, but that his soul may be saved, destined unto death. There's some of them, I know people that have called pastors, you know, to tell them how that, you know, to repent basically. Because of the sin unto death. It happened. God doesn't play games. David knew about it. David didn't dare touch Saul. Because he knew the consequences. Same thing in our Christian life. You know, we just let us be wise in the Word of God to discern good and evil. To discern humility versus arrogance. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord is extremely, He has the righteous anger when His people become proud. Look what it says in verse 12 of chapter 6. It says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks within a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. His device is evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Well, to that person. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, yet 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, mischief, and one who sows discord among brethren. Big, huge. God hates these things. And he uses the word there, the Lord hates. Because he can't stand believers backbiting. He can't understand. He can't stand that. He can't stand an arrogant heart, a proud heart. He can't stand that. That's our God. And he's a loving God. That he came and died for us, but he can't stand a proud man, woman. So may the Lord give us wisdom to really, truly understand the heart of God, and that we may grow in maturity, having the mind of Christ, and to really, truly enjoy that life that he has within us, to be just like him. And when we get to heaven, really enjoy what he really wants us to have on earth. We only have this much time. The day of the light is so short. We only got a few years. That's all we got. But what's 80 when we're going to be there forever? But while we're here, let's do whatever it takes to grow in maturity and win souls. All right?